What is my sacrifice? I'm condemned to use the tools of my enemy to defeat them. I burn my decency for someone else's future. I burn my life to make a sunrise that I know I'll never see.
Joel and I aren't good people. We're doing this for us, because apparently you're worth something.
There's a Firefly base camp somewhere else. With Dr. Bishop. They're working on a cure.
I've heard this before.
And whatever happened to me is
the key to finding the vaccine. That's what this is.
You are?
Yeah. I'm Batman.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. It's been a long time. Welcome back to Movie Punditry. I'm Rand. Mr. Mike, how you doing?
I am good, sir. I am doing well. How are you doing?
I was good until last week, until I smashed up my truck. But
yeah, that was not cool.
Nah, I'm alive. Somebody was like, you know, you gotta try to, you know, find some humor in the situation. And the humor is that the kid looked exactly like McLovin from Superbad. Like, literally, like, I get out the truck, excuse my language, I just scream, fuck, because I was having a perfect day. Literally a perfect day. And then he gets out and looks just like him. Glasses and everything. And the whole front end, he had, like, a brand new Ford Explorer. And for a quick summary, this street, it's Park Avenue where I live. It's one of the busiest streets. And, like, half of it is one town, the half of it is the other side. It's one of the busiest streets. It's by college. People flying up and down the street. This guy's trying to pull out of his driveway. And I see him, like, you know, you try to inch in. This ain't one of the streets where you can inch in. You either see a big gap or you try to get in as quick as possible. And he went for the latter. Dude just got his license, got a brand new Ford Explorer, and boom, hits me, and the whole front end is gone. And he's just standing next to his Ford Explorer as gas is just leaking, and I'm like, you might want to move away from that dude. And yeah.
Well, if it's any consolation, it sounds like he probably had a worse day than you did.
That is true. The thing that really rubbed me the wrong way, like, after it's done, his dad comes up and like makes him shake my hand, apologize, admit it's his fault. I called the insurance company later that night, and they're like, "Well, the father says you were probably speeding." I'm like, "What?" Mind you, I was at a dead stop when it happened because I'm waiting for the car in front of me to turn into where they're trying to go. So that pissed me off that he did that.
But did you tell him, like, I wasn't even moving?
but the thing is, I didn't feel like I had to say anything because when we were there, he told the cop, "Hey, yeah, it's my fault." Like, you know, he took blame for everything.
Yeah, well, you know, the dad's going to dad, and he's going to try to work the insurance company, obviously.
Yeah, well, thankfully, we both had this exact same insurance company, and even before they got their police report, his adjuster was, like, ready to accept majority of fault, and then once the report came back, they were like, yeah, it's all his fault. So now I'm on the hunt for a new truck. It was what bothered me, too, is, like, when I went to the that place. So for those that don't know, Mike knows this thing about cars, and he recommended a repair shop for me to go to. Very nice establishment. And I see my truck, and then it's like written in, I guess, chalk or something, like, entire passenger side needs to be fixed. And the guy's like, it can be fixed. He's like, the insurance company just refuses to pay for it.
Like, yeah, anything can be fixed, but the thing is when they get to Connecticut, I think it's 80%, 75 or 80% of the value, then they just total it.
Yeah.
Because the way it works is the first problem is that what they initially write is never all of it.
Okay.
There's always a supplement. And a lot of times the supplements are, you know, to the extent of, you know, almost, you know, double what the initial estimate is.
Yeah.
Because the stuff that you don't see once you get it inside, once you get it open, you know, that you can't see from the initial inspection. And then, you know, like, I just rode a car last week and, you know, this guy hit a pothole. I don't know what he hit. He hit it hard, but it deployed all the airbags.
Ooh.
And, you know, so, you know, right away we've got, you know, we've got, you know, airbags, we got the side airbags. So we have the trim and the headliner, the seat airbags. We got seat covers. Anytime the airbags get deployed, you have to replace the airbag control unit. The seatbelt retractor's deployed, so you got seatbelts that have to get replaced. And, you know, and then there's a wheel and a tire and another wheel that's bent. You know, so all that's like $11,000. But that doesn't even get into, you know, we can't even, we have to go in and now once we put the wheels and tires on it, we've got to put it on a Lyman rack and measure everything out. And there's going to be suspension stuff that's bad in it, you know. So this $11,000 job is probably going to wind up being, you know, $18,000 by the time they're all done. And so that's why there's that 75-80% kind of thing that they do, you know, because they know there's going to be more. And so they don't want to wind up writing over the value of the car.
Wow. That's, see, yeah. That's why you need to have friends who are smart people. Jeez. All right, enough of my sad stories. Something me and Mike found interesting. We were talking about Jonathan Majors a while, maybe about 2 weeks ago. And then the director of The Flash made some comments about how, you know, Ezra Miller is in no danger of being recasted. And we kind of started talking about cancel culture, which is something that I just think is ridiculous because I don't think too many people really truly get canceled. And before I even dip my toe into this, if Jonathan Majors is guilty of what he's accused of, he deserves everything that comes with it legally and career-wise. But then there's also, and I don't know if it's too early to say, but I'm also someone who believes in redemption. I don't think you can have a functioning society without that. If you really put in the work, that doesn't mean he has to get his career back, but he does, you know, deserve to live his life. And we talked about how, you know, he's been dropped from things left and right. And what we talked about, actors and actresses who have had issues in their career and been able to come back. And we're really talked about like Robert Downey Jr. So for those that don't know, can you like just give us a brief summary of this man's career arc and how it just, for a lot of people, it came out of left field that he was going to get that Iron Man role and then to see what it did for his career?
Yeah, so, you know, Robert Downey Jr. he was, you know, in the 80s, he was a pretty big guy. He started, you know, he coming into some, movies, and, the big one was a movie in 87 called Less Than Zero, which was like a teen kind of drug drama, and he was amazing in it. And, you know, he did other movies, Chances Are, Air America, which is a really good kind of funny movie. And a movie called The Pickup Artist, which was kind of like his first big role. But then he wound up in like the 90s. He wound up with a lot of drug problems. You know, cocaine, heroin, marijuana. I mean, basically, you name it. And he got arrested a couple of times. You know, drug possession, firearm possession, you know, driving like a lunatic down Sunset Boulevard. I think he broke into like a neighbor's house or something like that and like passed out in one of the beds. You know, so he was on probation and he was doing, you know, he was blowing his drug tests while he was on probation. Yeah, a lot. He was in a treatment facility he was in prison. And then, you know, but he was still working on and on. And when he was working, he was good. Like he was like nominated for an Emmy for work he did on Ally McBeal. And he was,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, he did some other stuff. He did a lot of stage work. Throughout the 2000s and things like that. And then he did a couple of independent films, and he started to work his way back. But the problem is when guys are like that kind of over the edge, they can't be insured, or it's tough to get them insured, right? So studios take out, when studios start to do a production, they start to do a film, and okay, we're going to hire, you know, somebody to do this movie. We're going to hire, you know, Chris Hemsworth to do this movie. And now we're going to spend, you know, millions of dollars on pre-production. We're going to hire a cast. We're going to do everything, blah, blah, blah. And Chris Hemsworth walks in the door and falls down a flight of stairs and breaks his leg, or just decides, screw it, I'm not showing up for work. You know, that's all insured. And, you know, so the studios don't lose all their money. But you can't insure a guy like Robert Downey Jr. in the 2000s, you know, at least not for big money, because of this history that he had. But, you know, Favreau and Paramount took a chance on him. You know, and he didn't have a lot of clout, but the one thing that he had a couple things going for him. One, that he had been pretty mellow for a while. And he had also, it hadn't been released yet, but there was a lot of good buzz around another film that he did, which was Tropic Thunder.
Oh, that was great.
Which came out after Iron Man, but he was amazing in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that year, between Iron Man and Tropic Thunder in 2008, you know, just kind of put him back on the map. The other thing that he did, which is really smart, is he made a back-end deal with Paramount for Iron Man, where he took a lower upfront salary,
mm-hmm.
but he took points. And obviously, you know, which means he gets a percentage of ticket sales. And obviously, you know, Iron Man and the films that followed it were a huge hit. And so he made, you know, a ton of money.
So question, even though that original deal is with Paramount, once that film gets, now you could explain how it's worked, because then it ends up being the property of Disney. That contract is still good. Like, that's the original contract or whatever. Once he hits a certain number of films he signed on for.
Yeah. Well, you know, so it was kind of weird. So Marvel Studios produced the film.
Okay.
But at that point, Marvel Studios wasn't owned by Disney. You know, I think it was like 2011, somewhere around there. So they were finding, you know, whatever production partners they could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Paramount, you know, they were the production partner and the distributor for Iron Man. Universal was the, you know, the distributor for the Hulk movie. You know, so those early movies were kind of a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Until, you know, but Disney bought them. And there's still contracts and stuff out there. Like Disney can't make
a Hulk
standalone movie.
Yep.
Because Universal still has the rights to that. You know, stuff like that. And obviously, you know, the whole, you know, the spite, you know, Marvel Studios early on, and, you know, when Marvel was going through financial, you know, issues, you know, they sold off a lot of their good characters, you know, Spider-Man being obviously the big one.
Yeah.
And Hulk was another big one. And, which is why you had that, whatever that Hulk movie was. And, you know, obviously the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. And, you know, Iron Man in the 2000s, Iron Man was a, you know, B-level character.
What I knew Iron Man from in the 2000s? The cartoon that would come on Fox. It was a run of Fantastic Four, Iron Man. Well, first, the lead-in was the Spider-Man, because that was the best one of them all. Then Iron Man, then a Fantastic Four cartoon.
Right, that's, but at that point, Spider-Man was like the biggest
thing
in the Marvel studio, you know, Marvel stable.
So, he's someone that, did he have any, like, assaults or domestic violence issues?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I think those are the ones that are really difficult to come back from. And now he's like somebody that's like, okay, we have a success. then you look at somebody like Kevin Spacey, and I don't think he's done anything since, well, House of Cards, what was that show on Netflix?
House of Cards, which he got fired from.
Yeah.
He was, the last big film he did was All the Money in the World, which they took him out of and reshot all of his scenes.
Wow.
They recast the role for Christopher Plummer and, you know, basically went back and reshot everything that he had done. They just reshot like half the movie.
Now, his issue was what? Accused of sexual
assault. You know, one of the things that he, you know, like the typical, you know, up in a hotel room kind of thing. And I want to say that it was,
it was with men, right?
It was with men. One of whom was Anthony Rapp, who's an actor, you know, another actor. And, a lot of it, honestly, a lot of it's timing, you know, and not to say that it's ever a good time, but, you know, there were people who, you know, have done the similar things to what he did, and because it wasn't like a big deal at the time or, you know, but he was like kind of right at he was like kind of the poster child for the whole Me Too thing, and, you know, just kind of caught it wrong, man. And
I think the other thing with his is his came at a time when you started to see the acceptance of LGBT, and I would say at that time it was like the public was becoming more accepting of lesbian and gay people in public. Right now there's, you know, the whole issue with trans is, that's why I'm saying LGBT, because I don't think we were really at the trans issue then. But that was when, like, the public sentiment was turning, like, okay, you know, you start seeing, like, love is love and things of that nature. And like you said, with timing, it was like, they were seen more as, like, a, just trying to figure out the word. Like, we have to protect these people in the same way we do with, like, race and minorities. And he hasn't done anything since?
He has not done anything since, except I think he's got a new movie coming out. It's, you know, it's a very small budget indie kind of thing. It looks horrible. Some studio I'd never heard of is making it. I mean, it's just,
you know, the last
thing and he may not even be like in it. I think it's a voice role.
The last thing I saw him in was Baby Driver.
Yep. And see, so this and so this becomes like the question, at least for me, of this whole idea of, you know, separating the artist from the art kind of thing. And, you know, because there are a lot of Kevin Spacey movies that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his performances that I really like. And it's like, you know, so to sit there and watch a movie that I really love, like Margin Call, right? Or The Usual Suspects. And, you know, can I not watch it? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I feel about watching it? And how do I feel about it? And I got to tell you, it's like sometimes, you know, at least in the beginning, you kind of cringe a little bit. It's kind of a little uncomfortable.
And then you get lost, you
know,
in the film.
But then you get into the performance and he's just, you know, one of the things, you know, he's just an amazing actor. And so, and I think, you know, I want to parallel it to like maybe Mel Gibson, but again, with Mel, you know, Mel Gibson was a different thing and it was a different time, you know, and there was, you know, allegations that he, I guess that he assaulted his wife or his girlfriend. There were recordings of him, you know, going on anti-Semitic tirades, you know. But, I mean, he never really seemed to suffer much from it. I mean, maybe he slowed down a little bit, but, you know, he's still directing movies. He's still getting Oscar nominations, you know. I mean, he's still working.
And then it comes to, like, okay, who... I don't know. Sometimes it's like it depends on who you are and what people, which people like you, the people that matter like you. I know someone for me, a person I struggle with, and it's more music. Well, I don't even struggle with it, but I see a lot of people struggle with it, is R. Kelly. And I remember, like, people's excuse would always be, oh, well, you know, you just listen to music. And my argument always was, but his music is about these sexual things and his crimes are these sexual crimes. He is singing about the things he's doing to these underage women.
Yeah, and that, you know...
You can't separate that.
Right.
And then when you see the reports of how heinous these things were, it's not even a... I don't think about it at all. Like, no, I'm not listening to dude's music. And at the end of the day, you know, people are going to... You know, listen to what they want to listen to, watch what they want to watch. I've always felt like when it's something of that regard, it's like, nah. Like, I'll never forget my dad. He would talk to me about this growing up. And I'd be like, yo, how do you, you know, pick and choose? And he'd be like, I love James Brown to death. I love his music. He's like, but James Brown beat the hell out of his wives. And he said, that's just the thing you are going to fight with, that people are not perfect. Especially, like, you know, entertainers, and you got to choose where's the line for you, you know?
Yeah, I remember they did a remake of, was it Vacation? But it was like Cedric the Entertainer. It was like a black family.
Yeah, yep.
And there was a scene where they're like in the car and they're arguing over music, and he's got like stack of CDs, like the kids' CDs, and he's like Tupac. Shot, and he throws it out the window. It's like, Biggie, shot, and he throws it out the window. And the kid's like, Marvin Gaye,
shot, oh, yeah. And
he throws it out the window.
Yeah, it's in every era. It's something that, you know, my kids are going to have to deal with whoever they like. A perfect example. And the tricky part is within this age and how you can delete things. Have you ever, your grandkids watch Blippi?
Maybe. Sounds familiar.
He wears, like, the orange and blue outfit, and he's got the glasses. And he basically goes to, like, a bunch of, like, Chuck E. Cheese-type places. So, I'm reading the article, and it's on YouTube, and I'm reading the article about him. And the person in the article wrote how, I guess, he tried to be, like a Jackass-style YouTuber. That didn't work out, and he pivoted to a kid's family-friendly YouTube channel. But he realized some of the things he had put up were offensive, and he was able to get YouTube to successfully take them down. And some parents had felt, well, those should have been left up for them to decide whether, you know, they would let their kids watch his new videos. And for me, it was like, well, if it's gone and you don't know what he did, I can see both sides of it. And I hate to be that guy, like, the both sides, but I can see both sides of it. But it's also, we do live in a trickier age now where you can go delete some things or you can hide some things and completely change your whole persona to fit what you needed to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, it's tough to completely scrub it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's okay. It's fairly easy, to, at least on the surface, to scrub it. But I mean, how many of these celebrities, you know, have gotten nailed for something that they like tweeted in 2009, you know? It's like, or something that they said in, you know, especially comedians are probably got it the hardest, you know, yeah. because your job as a comedian
is to push the envelope
and to make people uncomfortable. And because that's where the humor is. And you know, so, and humor tends to be topical. It tends to be very of the moment. And so something that maybe, you know, is funny in 2002 is not funny in 2022. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like if you, you know, like you watch like the old Eddie Murphy.
You can't play Raw. You
or
can't
Delirious.
Play Delirious. You know what I'm saying? Can't play like, Richard Pryor.
Like today. I can watch Delirious. And to me, Delirious is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But Eddie Murphy spends 20 minutes riffing on homosexuals on that
movie.
And, you know, and I remember seeing that in a theater. I remember, well, that was on HBO. I remember seeing Raw in a theater. And, like people couldn't breathe.
Yeah, that wouldn't fly today for a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people couldn't breathe because they were laughing so hard. And, you know, people today would just be like, what? You know, and so a lot of these comedians, you know, people are like pulling up stuff that they did like 20 years ago. And it's like, okay, but that was 20 years ago, yeah. You know, and that's their job is to push that envelope. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm not talking about like a Michael Richards, like going going insane, but a guy like, you know, Bill Burr or, you know, even Dave Chappelle, you know, they're doing what they do. And, you know, it's a tough place. And I've seen a lot of these guys have been like, you know, man, like, I don't want to go play colleges. You know, I don't want to, you know, this places, this city, I don't want to play in big cities because, you know, it's people aren't going to get it or they're going to get, somebody's going to get offended and I'm going to get canceled. You know,
I think the thing is, well, now this is, I'm glad you brought that up because I don't think too many people, I don't think almost anybody that really gets truly canceled. I think there's
some people do.
Who's gotten canceled?
I mean, Kevin Spacey definitely.
Well, he deserved that one.
I haven't seen James Franco do anything lately. Armie Hammer's definitely on the outs. You know, you don't see Gina Carano working.
I mean, she's working. She's just working for Ben Shapiro's company. She's making movies like for.
Yeah, she's making movies for like $30 somewhere.
Yeah, she's doing those.
Stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like she was a Star Wars man.
So then here's
She was in the Fast and Furious movies. You know.
Now here's where I say that this is where it gets tricky. You kind of also got to know who you work for.
Yes.
I know who I work for. I work for a state agency. I know, like, there's a line that I got to a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to read the room. Some of this stuff to me is common sense. Like, James Franco's issue was that he was accused of some sexual assault stuff, right?
Yes.
Gina Carano was, you knew who, I think that's a different light. Like, you knew who you worked for. That company wants no static and is going to, and they lean a certain way. Whether the people at running it, believe it or not, they lean a certain way. She had to know you couldn't start flouting that stuff. Like, do you see what's going on with Sage Steele, who works for ESPN?
Who?
Sage Steele. She hosts SportsCenter.
Right.
And it was, and you know how Connecticut was during the height of COVID. You had to be vaccinated.
Right.
You had to wear a mask. And she went on a show and went full, you know, Fox News messaging with it. They took her off TV. They didn't call suspension, but it essentially was suspension. So now she's suing them. And a lot of people were like, you do have your First Amendment right. But you saw Jemele Hill get fired for making a statement about Trump, and you thought you were going to be able to go on TV and say, like, they didn't want any smoke. They didn't want any attention. You kind of got to know who you work for. They didn't fire her, but you got sat on the sidelines for a little while. I think when it comes to, like, people saying stuff, you kind of got to read the room.
And I agree with that, but here's another thing that I just want to throw out there. You know, you have a guy like James Franco or Kevin Spacey or Armie Hammer. Like, these are the guys who, these are the guys who got shut down because they did things to people.
Yeah.
You know, Gina Carano got shut down because she expressed ideas. And, you know, those can't be the same thing.
No, they're not the same thing. They're not.
You may disagree with her ideas, but
yeah,
you know, she's not, you know, she's not Armie Hammer. She's not like carving her initials into people and, yeah, you know, eating, you know, trying to cut their ribs out, you know?
Is that the guy that played, he's not the guy that played Justin Hammer in Iron Man 2, right?
No. That's Sam Rockwell.
Okay.
No, he's fine. No, Armie Hammer was, he was the guy who played the twins in the Facebook movie and the Social Network. I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff, but he just kind of went off the deep end. Like, really crazy off the deep end. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that guy needs to go away. Yeah. I'm fine with that. You know? But, like, people like comedians who say things on the stage, or even Gina Carano, even though I completely disagree with what she says, you know, I have a harder time with it because people want to shut people down and eliminate them because they express ideas, even if I disagree with those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, maybe I don't want to, you know, and this goes back to what you're saying. Like, maybe I don't want to, like, buy her movies, and so Disney needs to cut bait and say, well, you know, she spoiled her brand, but does that mean, like, she should never work again? I, you know, I have a harder time with that than I do for somebody who actually, like, committed a crime.
And I think that's where we get into, like, the I'm not sure the redemption part applies to her, because all you did was offend somebody.
I mean, it can.
She doesn't need to go out and do something to be redeemed. Like, you don't have to put in the work the way these guys who, like,
right. Basically
committed crimes would have to. You said something someone didn't like, so it's more so, okay. You know,
yeah. The
person has to deal with how they feel with that, and you deal with how you feel. But you don't have to go out. It's not like restorative justice. You need to put in the work.
Right. And, you know, and part of the problem is that nobody is willing or very few people are willing to, like, allow for that redemption. You know, oh, this person says something terrible 10 years ago or whatever. You know, are they saying that now? You know, have they come around, have they changed their thought? Part of you screaming is because you don't want people to think that way, and that person doesn't think that way anymore, and you don't consider that a victory. You're still mad at them? I mean, what are you even fighting for? It's like, sometimes I just don't understand people.
I think in regards to majors, and this, have you paid attention to what he's been doing lately?
In terms of what?
Just how he's living his life right now?
Like, now that he's been, you know, after these allegations and stuff? Not really.
Yeah. So he's dating Megan Good. And my sister's like, she's not a fan of Megan Good, but she keeps up with the gossip and stuff. Megan Good was, you know, she did Shazam. She has a show on Amazon. It's pretty much basically like an African-American woman version of Sex in the City. That's exactly what the show is. Spot on, like, every turn, like, three other friends, and they're all, like, certain characters, like, Sex and the City. She also just got a divorce, and the man she was married to, they were, like, super Christian. They wrote books about how to, you know, have a godly marriage, and now that's not working, and my sister's like, she's trying to do damage control for her brand, and he is, too, and they're both dating each other. And my sister will send me a picture every now and then of them out together, talking about, look at the mouse and his PR going to work. Because Jonathan Majors is not, before this happened, was not seen often out with black women. And there's pictures of them going to Red Lobster. And my sister texts, she goes, when do you think is the last time this man ate at Red Lobster? And I'm like, he's trying to play to the base. He needs some support. Maybe somebody at the mouse told her, hey, if this thing works out for us, we got a role for you. We know that Shazam thing didn't work out. And my first thought was like, well, why doesn't he go, you know, volunteer to some domestic abuse center, stuff like that? But I was like, that would kind of be like a silent admission of guilt. Like, you did something wrong.
It's too soon for that.
Yeah, and you can't play that.
You know, this thing hasn't sorted itself out yet.
Yeah.
You know, there's still, you know, whatever the charges or whatever. You know, it's still working its way through whatever it's working its way through. And that part comes later. And there's other things he can do with that. That's kind of on the nose. Like, you don't, send a predator to work in a shelter, you know? No, I don't care how redeemed he is.
So do you remember Ray Rice?
Ray Rice?
Baltimore Ravens running back, and there was a video of him.
Oh, yeah.
That man has actually done the work. And I remember for a long time, like, I'd read up on him, and I thought he was doing it to get back in the league. And I think that happened in 2015. He's still doing the work. Like, he's volunteering in different places. And that's a guy I feel like has done the things that need to be done and never got a shot. And I remember for a while, a lot of people were saying, like, well, we want to see how long he keeps it up. And he would say, he goes, you know, I know everybody thinks this is an act, but he goes, I truly feel remorse for what I did. And then it makes me think about, like, okay, well, how does society or this profession you want to be back into judge if you've been redeemed? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the barometer?
Well, I mean, I think a big part of it is, like, how much money do you make? And what can you bring?
Yeah, in his case, he was a 30-year-old running back, and nobody wants those. I think Majors hadn't quite hit that level that everybody felt he was going to get to. I'm trying to think who's... Okay, had The Rock done what Majors was accused of?
It's funny that you went to The Rock, because I was just going to go to a wrestling reference.
Because I was just trying to think, like, who's, like, a huge action star? Even though...
Okay.
Majors was trending towards, like, just all-around star. I don't know what other American act... Denzel's too old. Jamie Foxx. Had Jamie Foxx done what Majors done?
Right.
Do you think we're even debating Marvel getting rid of him? Or is it just...
I don't know. I mean, there were allegations. Like, Morgan Freeman had allegations.
Okay.
You know? But, I mean, he's Morgan Freeman. You know what I'm saying? Like...
And he wasn't arrested.
No.
I think the arrest makes it even worse.
That's the thing is, you know, allegations are allegations.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire in a lot of places, but there's still allegations. Anybody can say anything they want.
Yeah.
About anything. You know, but I was thinking about, do you remember, and I'm a little bit older than you, but do you remember... a wrestler named Pat Patterson.
Yes. I it's interesting you said, because I've been listening to a podcast and these guys have been talking about some of the Pat Patterson allegations.
Yeah. With the Ring Boys and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but this is a guy who, you know, they were like, so the short version of it is, you know, he was a guy who was a wrestler, and then he became like an executive for the WWF. But he had this thing for young boys, and especially one in particular. And he was basically almost keeping him as like a sex slave.
Jesus.
To some degree. And enjoy that soda. And he kind of got caught, and, you know, WWF was kind of like, well, you know, like we found out about it and we sat him down, and, you know, we told him that he had to stop and to stay away from young boys and stuff like that.
What?
And of course nothing happened. And then this kid wound up like basically like going public and getting a lawyer and suing the WWF. And they wound up firing Patterson. But then, like, a few years later, they hired him back.
I saw that dude on TV all throughout the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah. Exactly.
They had him on a special celebrating him as the first
game. And every documentary you ever see about a wrestler, whether it's, you know, the Andre, or whether it's the Iron Sheik, or whether it's, you know, Dark Side of the Ring, you know, he's in there as a talking head giving his 3 cents. or whatever. And like nobody ever talks about the sexual assault allegations. And
they have nobody ever talks about the Lost Eight. On the Rock sitcom. He's a huge focus.
Yeah, so he brings a lot of attention. You know, I mean, and I think we could all.
I mean, then again, look at who runs the company. All
understand that the McMahons are terrible people, and you know that's a whole different ball of wax. But, you know, but that's just an example of like, oh, you know, when does somebody not get canceled? When they're making you money, they'll find a way to keep you. Like Ezra Miller, they'll find a way to keep you.
Well, now that you said that, have you paid attention to how Vince orchestrated himself back into running the company?
In terms of what?
So do you remember last summer he retired when the allegations came out?
Right. With another set of allegations, but yeah.
And I guess when the company went public, he got Class B shares and everyone else got A.
Right.
And his shares enabled him. Basically, he could pick the entire board. So they go through the most of the year and he's away. He's retired. And he wrote a letter to the board saying, I'm coming back. If you don't have me come back, I will just vote against any new TV deal you try to make. And I want to sell the company. Board writes back, and this is Hunter and his Stephanie running the company. Nah, there's more allegations. It's probably just best you stay retired. And basically, I was watching the CNBC in there. One of the people there, basically inside, it was like, he just realized if he just waited things out long enough, the fervor would have died down and there was no reason for him to retire. He fires three of the board members, installs his own, and they vote to bring him back. And it just made me think, well, like you said, just like some people can just, you know, play the long game long enough and you're back where you wanted to be. I mean, granted, it helps that he controlled, you know, these voting shares and can do what he pleased. But, like, that's somebody that's never had to, you know, take responsibility for any things he's done.
But, I mean, you could spend hours talking about, you know, Vince McMahon and how he should have been, you know, canceled, you know, years ago many, many times. You know, just, I mean, besides the Patterson thing, I mean, just the whole Owen Hart thing. You know, I mean, was absolutely ridiculous.
He showed up at the funeral.
He showed up at the funeral? What a camera crew. I mean, it's crazy. Like he comes on TV and, like, announces, like, they announce that Owen was gone. And then he goes and does a bit.
Yeah, start the show. I remember when he got chastised for doing, like, these racial skits and very sexist skits.
Uh-huh.
A week later, they put out a press release. WWE is more akin to Saturday Night Live than pro sports, so this is why we can do this.
Well, yeah, but that also had to do with regulation and you know, how much oversight the state governments could have.
Mm-hmm.
Because if wrestling was a competitive sport...
Yeah.
Then, like, the state sporting commissions would be involved in it. But if it's entertainment and it's not competitive, it's scripted, then, you know, then they don't have any real say over it.
Let's move on to something lighter. This is... Oh, man. So
Vince McMahon bringing it right
he
now.
Just brought that shit. So I've been watching this show, Class of 09, on Hulu. Hulu's got some pretty good shows. Some really good shows. It is about this FBI class, obviously, hence the title. They start in 2009, and it flashes back between their time that they were in the academy to their present day and then the future of, you know, where they ended up. I think you said the girl's Kate Mara?
Yeah, Kate Mara.
So it mainly focuses on her and Brian Tyree Henry.
Brian Tyree, right?
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of Minority Report, and if So far, really? It kind of looks like that's where. So basically, they get in, and there's like this, who's the guy that did the Oklahoma City bombing? There's a group like that, and they basically are plotting to blow up FBI sites. And Brian Tyree Henry's wife is like a target. So it kind of pushes him towards like, you know, if there was a way to prevent this, this would have never happened. One of the other like recruits from his class basically says, every time we do an interview, we should be wearing body cameras. Any piece of data, any, you know, evidence, any note you write should all be entered into this database so it can be cross-referenced. And that would make, you know, doing investigations easier. At some point, and I think I'm behind on two episodes, Brian Tyree Henry finds a way to basically make it into like surveillance. And he does steal the program from her and change it in a way that like it can predict who's going to commit a crime. And they just start arresting everybody. And there's like these Senate hearings and he's being called to task. And his justification is, yo, crime's down. Who cares? So it's a very, very good show. And him and Kate Mara do a very good job of acting.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Tyree Henry is, he's actually a really good actor.
Yeah.
And what I like about him is he's got so much range. You know, he could do, like, dead serious stuff really good.
Have you watched Atlanta with him and Donald Glover?
I've never watched Atlanta, no, I've never seen that.
He's phenomenal. Like, like you said, his range, he goes from being like a regular street guy in that, and in this, he's the director of the FBI and carries himself the way you would expect the director of the FBI to carry himself, like a J. Edgar Hoover type guy.
Yeah.
His range is phenomenal.
Yeah, or he does something serious like, you know, If Beale Street Could Talk or, you know, but then he goes to do something like, you know, like Bullet Train.
Yes.
Where he's incredible at that. You know, but it's a completely different, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've been watching. It's a really good show. The other one I've been watching is Unprisoned with Delroy Lindo. Mm-hmm. That's great. He plays a guy who's in and out of jail. Kerry Washington is his daughter. And he's just trying to do the right thing. And almost every episode, something trips him up, and he's just doing everything he can to not go back to jail. So that's pretty good. And I started this show Primo on Amazon. It's a Latin sitcom. This is this Mexican kid and his five uncles live with him and his mom. You know, 20 minutes to pass the time. What you've been watching, Succession?
Yeah, we just Succession just finished up.
Now, is that the season or the series?
Just the series. Series is over.
How many seasons did that run?
Four.
What is this about?
So Succession is loosely based on the Murdoch family, you know, Rupert Murdoch. Mm-hmm. So it's about this family who they own they run a media empire. In the case of the show, it's a company called Waystar, which is, you know, all kinds of stuff, news and regular television, and they own a cruise line and they have a Hollywood studio, and, you know, so there's all kinds of stuff. And so it's basically about like the guy who runs the company, Logan, is, you know, he's in his 80s. He's not in great health. And so it's like basically about like, so what's going to happen when Logan's gone and who's going to wind up running the company and, you know, how's this going to shape out? And, you know, Logan has four children.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest is from his first wife. And is not really interested in business at all. That's Connor. And then his three younger children who are from his second wife, are all the ones who are like kind of vying for position, and you know, and so it's about them, you know, and at times they're like, it's the three of them against Logan. At times they're all together. At times they're against each other. And, you know, down to, you know, what's going to happen. And so in the, think the third episode of this, of the last season, Logan dies.
Okay.
And so now the rest of this, the rest of the season is like dealing with the fallout, but it's also stuff like they're in the middle of a merger and, you know, there's business deals going on and, you know, the older brother's getting married and it's election day. And so there's like this very like 2016-ish kind of election, you know, and so like there's all this stuff going on. And what's really crazy about the last, especially this last episode, is the way they did it and the way they shot it. There's a lot of really long takes. There's a lot of like, so basically, so for instance, the episode where Logan dies, there's basically two parts to that episode. Logan is on a plane with some of his executives, and that's one half. The other half is Khan's wedding, and the siblings are at the wedding. They're all at the wedding.
He didn't go to his own son's wedding?
What?
He didn't go to his own son's wedding?
He didn't go to his own son's wedding, and that's part of it. He's going off to fly off to Europe to do a business deal, and he winds up having a heart attack. And so they're on the phone with the guy on the plane, which I don't know how on TV and movies people's cell phones work on planes over the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
But
maybe they're rich.
Wait, maybe because they're rich. Hey, it's a Wi-Fi phone. That's got to be it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're like on the phone with somebody who's on the plane, and he's like, look, your dad's sick. They're doing compressions, you know. And so there's like one scene. The scene that takes place at the wedding is like basically the way they filmed it is they filled up this. It was on a yacht. So they filled up this yacht with a bunch of people. And they just let and so what they do is they just let the cameras roll. Like they don't do what like a lot of TV shows do, where they like block everything out and you're going to be here and you're going to be here and you're going to walk there and you're going to do this, blah blah. They just let the actors go.
Oh, that's different.
And they're like, you know, you go where you do what you do and you go where you go. And so they're like, okay, you know, they may walk this way, they may walk into another room, and the cameras are just basically following them around. And they shot that whole thing in like one take. It was like one 30-minute take of them just going. And they did, of course, they did other takes and they did shorter takes and they did pieces of the scene. But they said what wound up in that episode, like 90% of it was from the one take. That's where they cool. just started and they went straight for 30 minutes as if the thing was actually happening in real time. And it's one of the most incredible hours of television you'll ever see.
That sounds interesting. So, well, never mind. I was going to say how does it end, but I'm sure some people that listening didn't see it yet, so I'll wait on that.
It ended, yeah, the ending was, I don't even want to talk about it. I mean,
that good,
but also that, like, it was such a punch in the gut at the end. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. What else have you been watching?
We kind of watched through Citadel. It's okay. It's
on Amazon, right?
It's on Amazon. You know, it's like a little spy thriller series. It's okay. It's kind of predictable in some places, but you know, it's a fast watch and it's not too bad. Okay. I think the last time we talked about Picard ended. We also, we finished that one up. So, and I think we just, no, that's about it. I think.
I've watched the first season of Yellow Jackets. And for some reason, I just can't get into season two.
Yeah.
I keep
wondering if I want to jump into that.
Season one was really good. And I think I'm tired of the flashbacks to the wherever they crashed on a plane. like, I'm ready for just, let's just show me how you're trying to get on with your lives and how this thing affected you. Yeah, that's where I'm at with that show. And that's, like, I'm looking through, like, the things I've bookmarked. I haven't watched much else. I was wrapped up in those other two shows. Oh, you know what I did watch? The last thing he said to me was on Apple Plus with Jennifer Garner. It was okay. It was about a guy who was, like, in witness protection and his family doesn't know it. And he's gone, and now the wife is trying to figure out, you know, why he was in witness protection and who's going to be after her now. It was all right. I'm really looking forward to Foundation coming back. And are we getting another season of that space show we like?
There's a space show we like?
Oh, For All Mankind.
For All Mankind?
Yeah.
I certainly hope so.
That was great. You know what? They do have a... Have you saw the trailer for Silo?
No.
So, and I kind of think how it's going to play. Which, they do something really weird. It's basically, it's the future. And these people live in this underground, you know, silo. They can see outside and it looks like it's, you know, post-apocalyptic. And if you, you know, ever say you want to go outside, leave the silo, you're forced outside, and everybody that goes outside dies within 5 seconds. What is the girl's name? She was on Parks and Rec. Let me look up the cast. Because they do something really weird the first 2 episodes. Okay, so Rashida Jones and David Oyelowo, is that a name?
Oh, yeah.
They are the main character. She's the main character in the first episode. You never see her again after that. He's the main character in the next 3 episodes, and they're gone from the show after that. Like, they're killed off. And I'm not sure why, because I thought... And when you see the trailers, you're thinking, okay, these two are going to carry the show, and that's what got me interested in it.
Right.
And it's not as interesting now that they're gone. Because after that, the main characters are this lady, Rebecca Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Robbins, who's doing a good job. And Common, God bless his soul. He's trying his best, but
Common's trying, baby. Oh, wow, this has got some cast in it. I mean, I love Rebecca Ferguson. She's great. Rashida Jones, I like her a lot, too. I mean, David Oyelowo is, you know, great. Tim Robbins, Will Patton, Billy Postlethwaite. I mean, this is a pretty good cast in here.
Yeah, Common's trying his best, but I don't know if...
Common always just, you know, showing up and kind of do what he do.
Yeah. Well, Will Patton's phenomenal in this.
Will Patton's great in whatever he's in.
Yeah.
You seen any movies lately, or
Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
I gave you the information. It's in there.
I know. I just haven't got around to it.
I loved it more than Dash liked it a lot, but I don't think he could appreciate everything the way I could. But it was phenomenal. They hit everything, even things that you forgot. Like they hit the nail on the head for everything. And
yeah.
Chris Pratt does a really good job. I was wrong. He does a great job. He sounds Italian enough for me. Well, you know what's funny? It is essentially Ant-Man. Like, that's why I'm looking forward to watching it. But it just does it in a way that works. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to you watching
it. That's interesting.
Yeah, because after
I believe Quantumania is on Disney Plus already.
Brother. And I was tempted to watch it, but then I was like, never mind.
I'm trying to think what.
Oh, you saw Fast.
I saw Fast.
Does this thing need 2 more movies?
No, it needs 1 more. but it doesn't need two more.
Does anybody die?
I'm not going to tell you that.
I'm not going to see this thing for another 3 years until it's on TBS or TNT. like coming on after an NBA game.
Does anybody die? Yes.
Good. Is it Vin Diesel?
Yeah, okay.
This thing needs to be done. Like, when I saw him come out and say they're getting two more, and I'm like, what? And then The Rock is getting another film? They're never going to let this thing go.
What do you mean?
They're never going to end this.
Yeah. It's crazy that they brought him back.
I'm telling
you. Yeah, so the thing I will say about this movie, about Fast X, is that the best parts of this movie are, like, not the main characters. They're the people who are, like, coming in. You know? Jason Momoa was amazing in this movie. He's, like, the whole movie. You know, John Cena is really good in this movie. You know, so stuff like that. Even Brie Larson is good in this movie.
Good.
Like, and brings something to it. But, like, the regular crew, they're, like, they're there. You know, they're there. I think they're all getting tired of this.
Not Tyrese.
No, well... Definitely not Tyrese. Tyrese is in 100%.
Oh, man. Yeah, I feel this about it the same way Kylo Ren did in that fight. It just all needs to go. The Sith.
I will say this. I think I liked it better than the last one. I probably liked it better than the last three. Honestly. Gee, I know that's a low bar.
But just the last three, like. This needs to stop. Or you know what? Or get rid of the whole... Just bring all these new people in. Maybe keep one or two people. Let Vin Diesel be the Nick Fury of the Fast universe and recruit folks. I don't care. You know what else, too, I've noticed? COVID has made me... And it's... I just don't want to go to the movie theaters anymore.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I remember I was so excited to go see Into the Spider-Verse, the first one. And I know it's going to be a phenomenal film. I have no desire to get up, go to the movie theater, sit around a bunch of people. And that has nothing to do with COVID anymore. I just don't want to do it.
Hey, so you go on like, Sunday morning or Tuesday afternoon.
I don't have the time. But yeah, it just... Like, what's the next Marvel film?
Marvels?
I'll probably go for that. Maybe. And that's just to keep up with the story and not have it spoiled to me on Twitter. And I'll probably see... I'm going to try to get in to see Spider-Verse. I mean, unless... Like, if they were to tell me today...
I'm hearing it's so fantastic. It's got like a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean,
I've seen people say it's like Dark Knight of animated film.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
So like, I feel like I have to see it unless, like, if Sony was to come out today, be like, yo, this will be on. You can buy this in July.
I don't know if it'll be that fast.
I mean, is Avatar gonna be on Disney Plus in a couple weeks?
Probably.
I might be able to hold off.
It's actually not bad.
Avatar?
Yeah. It's better than it had any right to be.
I'm surprised. Well, it was probably always...
You know what? Speaking of better than it has any right to be, you know what's actually pretty good?
What?
Is that Dungeons & Dragons movie.
It looked like it was going to be.
It's actually like kind of like unplug your brain.
And just watch
it. Don't expect anything from it. And just go for the ride. And it's actually really good.
Okay. And it's on, I think it's on Paramount.
It's on,
right?
HBO. It's on HBO. Or it's on Max.
Yeah, Max. The one to watch.
I'm trying to think what else I've seen. John Wick was pretty good too.
I still haven't seen that. I think I'll purchase that. Yeah, I haven't seen any movies, man. This 4 is a new thing coming. Do you know what that's about?
Which thing? Oh, the
Explorer pack or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, people are raving about it. You know, people have seen the previews.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, and then we got Xbox Showcase next week.
Yes, we do.
Sony had theirs the last week, which was a dud. Like I watched some of it, but I was at work, and then they showed the trailer for the Spider-Man 2 game. Uh-huh. Someone made the joke there, like, that franchise is the only thing keeping this system afloat right now. While the game does look phenomenal, Peter's got the symbiote suit, and you can play with him with the suit. And in the cutscenes, you see, like, he's saving people, like, as they're falling out of buildings. And as he gets close to the ground to drop them off, he's just throwing them to the ground. He's not even, like, placing them gently. And then Miles is like, oh, this is going to be a problem. So, like, I'm looking forward to, you know, that game.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think IGN's headline on the Sony thing was, like, you know, that the PlayStation event was great for Xbox.
Yeah. It was literally just the only thing we're turning into was that Spider-Man thing. But Xbox kind of got its work to do, too, because there's been a couple of duds dropping. That Redfall game. And I saw the developer said that, I guess when they got purchased by Microsoft, they were hoping that somebody from Microsoft would come in and look at how bad this game was being developed and just like, you should cancel it. And they got depressed when no one came and said, cancel the game.
Uh-huh.
Because I guess it started off as a single-player game. And whoever their publisher is was like, at the time, was like, no, this needs to be a multiplayer game. And they're like, that's not even what the studio does. We don't even do that. We make single-player games.
Right.
So they said they're scrambling to try to make a multiplayer game, and that's not their forte. And then Microsoft finally was like, look, just put out whatever you have. And it was horrendous. It seems like it's all being built up around Starfield and Forza.
Yeah. I think Starfield's going to be kind of the big...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they're going to do something about Fable. They've been talking about it, but... Yeah, I think it's definitely Starfield, Motorsport.
Yeah, because I think they said Motorsport.
There's the Outer Worlds game, I think they've been getting a lot of buzz about, too, so...
And Forza's getting two, like... in the showcase, and then it's also going to get its own separate.
Yeah, well, event. I mean, Forza always does its own stuff.
I didn't like the cover, though. You got to hear something better than that.
Yeah, I mean...
You're about to spend $68 billion on Activision. You can get some intern to do something with some better cars.
Well, it's, you know, those covers are all about licensing and... Yeah, you know, there's a lot that actually goes into that stuff.
All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
Probably not, no.
Issue 750 of Captain America is coming. It's going to drop on July 5th. They've been building a pretty good story, folks. I encourage you to check it out. So, sometime last year, they split Cap into two books. It was Captain America, Sentinel of Liberty, and that was Steve's book. And then Sam had Symbol of Truth. Sam was basically doing, like, international Captain America. And Steve is doing, I'm trying to figure out what's going on because, you know, everybody still thinks I'm a Nazi. And I gotta, you know, right these wrongs. Meanwhile, Bucky and the real White Wolf, like, T'Chaka brought like that white kid to run that secret police in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
They have teamed up, and I don't know if he's brainwashed. I want to say he's brainwashed Bucky, but he's kind of got his own agenda. And it's kind of putting Sam and Cap at odds as they try to figure out what's going on and stop it. 750 is supposed to be like a really, really big issue. So, okay. Yeah, folks, if you July 5th, pick it up. Even if you don't care about it, I think it's something you might want to just pick up, put in some plastic, read it once, then lock it somewhere.
Yeah, and if you want to do things in person, New York Comic Con pre-sales are happening. The VIP pre-sale was Wednesday, and that's sold out. VIP tickets are all sold out.
Jeez.
The Superfan, which is the paid membership pre-sale, was today. And then the verified fans, which is people who've been to Comic-Con before, that's next Sunday. It's amazing. They're doing it on a Sunday. Usually they do it like during the week. You're out there trying to work and get tickets. So that's next Sunday. And then the general sale is like Wednesday the 21st, I think. And good luck trying to get a ticket there. But if you've never been, I mean, if you live on the East Coast, you live in, you know, the Northeast, you know, New York Comic Con is definitely, I mean, there's other cons in the area. There's like,
it's not New York Comic Con though.
Yeah. I mean, there's the one they do at Mohegan Sun, which is pretty good. There's the one in Springfield, which I've heard is pretty good. But they're not New York Comic Con, especially if you're a comics fan, because a lot of the authors and our artists show up at that. Whereas, you know, Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con is very media oriented. New York Comic Con is very comic oriented. It's more of a mix. And then there's I may also go to Tampa Bay Comic Con, which is down here in July, and that's also very comic oriented. Not a lot of media guests, although there's some.
One day I'll get there. This might be the year. Yeah. Now you said the general, but you said it's tough to get them on the general sale, right?
It's not impossible, but it's, you know, it's harder. You know, every tier goes along,
it's harder to get.
It gets harder to get, yeah. Especially like Saturday tickets are the ones that typically sell out first.
Jeez, I just saw somebody said Across the Spider-Verse was perfect. Yeah, I think I got to see it this weekend. Yeah, that's what I'll do. All right, folks. Thank you for listening to another episode. You know, you can reach out to us online at Movie Punditry on Twitter. Mr. Mike, anything?
No, just, yeah, like it's at @movie_punditry. We also have a Movie Punditry Facebook page, but mainly the way to do it is on Twitter, where, you know, that Twitter feed is more active than probably anything. You know, we appreciate it. And, you know, if you enjoyed this podcast, then tell somebody, tell your friends. You know, if you're on Apple Podcasts, then do us a favor and leave us a rating and a review. And, you know, we wanna get the word out to people that we're here.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out.
Later.